Heidi, if you want to make your way forward, you know, we're in our new building and we're celebrating that this month, and we're excited to be here, and every week you show up, a little more is done, and we're getting closer and closer. But, you know, this building is not the church. The church is the people. It's the group of people that God is working in their lives. And so I love to hear some of those stories. So ask Heidi to share just a little bit about how God's been working in her life, and Journey's had a role in that. So.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to, you know, grand opening month here at Journey. My journey started here back in the movie theater 11 years ago. My kids were just, Caitlin was 2 years old, and I remember some of the people that have been coming to Journey for a while remember Margie, and I've told this story over and over again, and Margie was my neighbor, really close friend of mine, and we happened to go to the Golden Days parade and then the street fair. Closer to the mic, okay. And so we were at the street fair, and we met Derek, and you know, he was very friendly, very informative, but I thought this is very odd to have a church at this street fair downtown. And Margie was all excited and ended up going and loved it. And I thought, wow, there's a church that meets at the movie theater, and she's leaving her children in the hallway in a gated area. And I'm like, okay. And she was persistent. And every Sunday for, I want to say, about 4 or 5 months, she asked me enthusiastically, every Friday it began, you know, are you coming to church with me this weekend? Are you coming? You know, we're doing this, we're doing that. And, you know, I gave her all kinds of reasons, but she broke me down. And I thought, wow, you know, I saw all these changes in Margie, and I'm like, Pastor Derek must be an amazing person, because I see, you know, Margie is so happy and she's glowing talking about church, and I'm like, I want that. And so I decided to go, and ever since, you know, here I have been. And, you know, without Derek and Deli making the sacrifice and coming to Alaska and starting the church here, I don't think that I would have been as involved as I am in a church that I am here at Journey. I don't think that my children would be so involved and to the core of who they are, they believe. You know, and I remember Caitlin, my youngest, at 5 years old in kindergarten, getting in arguments and taking down people's phone numbers on the playground because their parents didn't believe in God and she was going to have her pastor call them and take care of that. And I thought, wow, you know, she gets this. You know, at such a young age, she gets this. And without Journey, I don't think she would have been there. And I know, you know, most of you know that our house burned down 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. And, you know, it was extremely devastating. It was very, very scary. We barely, you know, got out of the house. We got out, and it was the day that it was 49 below at our house. I had only time to get the children out. And, you know, I just kept hearing scripture, you know, in my head as this was happening. And, you know, without Journey, that would not have been there. And to have a peace when, you know, your entire world is going up in flames. And, you know, don't get me wrong, it's very, very sad. And there are extreme moments of grief. There are moments of, oh my goodness, you know, that heirloom was in the house, or that childhood memory was in the house. But I am so grateful to Journey for the foundation that they have put into my life and into my children's life. Because as, you know, we lost one of our dogs in the fire, and it was very difficult, because it was my oldest daughter's dog, to listen to her cry for him and to, you know, keep her from going back into that house, you know, was something I don't want to experience again. But as, you know, the fire department was there, and the Red Cross was there, and I was crying, my 13-year-old Carolyn comes over to me and she says, "Mommy, don't worry, God will use this for good." And I was like, wow. You know, for her to be in the most devastating moment of her life to this point, to understand that scripture, to understand that God will be there for her, that God will turn this into something good, was such a gift. It was just such a gift. So, you know, I keep hearing scripture. People ask me, you know, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? By the grace of God, we had at 5 o'clock that morning, we had housing, temporary housing, but because I work for UAF, by the grace of God, we had a place to go that morning. And we were out. I was in my nightgown and bare feet at 49 below. And, you know, no frostbite. None of my children were injured. I have clothing now. And as I was standing out there, you know, and you hear the sounds of your house burning and everything disappearing before your eyes, everything, and there's nothing. I grabbed nothing. All I thought and all I heard was get, you know, the girls out. There was no thought of grabbing anything. And as I stood out there, I thought, you know, the birds don't worry about, you know, where they're going to eat, where they're going to live. Why should you worry about this? You have your children, and God will take care of you. And, you know, I keep hearing scripture over and over again, and all I feel now, there's no anxiousness, there's no anxiety of, you know, where am I going to live, what am I going to do with this, you know, how am I going to replace that. I just feel, you know, be still and know that I am God. And he has presented himself over and over and over again. And it was, you know, the fire chief was out there with me, and I kept telling him, I need my purse. I thought I had grabbed my car keys. I had not grabbed my car keys. I have keys to several buildings that give me access up at the university. I'm like, I need my purse. And, you know, the firefighters are like, this crazy lady and her purse, she's, you know, her whole house is burning to the ground and she thinks we're going to find her purse. And I'm like, you don't understand. I believe, I feel it with every fiber of my being, you will find it. And they're like, there's no way we're finding this purse. And our cat had gone missing. And, you know, again, they're like, you know, we're really sorry. There's no way, you know, that we're going to find the cat. And I'm like, you don't understand. As I'm crying in the fire chief's car, I'm like, I believe in miracles. You can't tell me that miracles don't happen, because I believe. I have seen them far too many times in my life, that God has done miracles for me, and I believe. And so, you know, just in my fashion of how things go, my house started on fire again 2 days later, and I got a call from the fire department. And, you know, my husband was out there, and I'm like, you have to look for the cat. You have to. I know that, you know, he's out there. You have to find him. And he was getting ready to give up, and still, it's still 30 below. You know, we didn't get any reprieve from the weather. And I got a phone call from my husband that he had found the cat. And I'm like, see? Do you see? And I called the fire chief, and it was so funny. And I was like, we got the cat. And he said, I am so sorry. And I'm like, he's alive. I told you. He is alive. I told you I believe in miracles. And he's like, I am so sorry, ma'am. I never, never would have thought. And I said, I know. But miracles do happen. And I believe. And even though, you know, we ended up, the cat ended up having signs of frostbite 4 or 5 days later, we took him to the vet. And while he was being sedated, he ended up having a heart attack. You know, it was still a miracle because we still got to say goodbye to him. We still got to hold him for those 4 or 5 days and love him. So it was an amazing gift to us. And sometimes, you know, that was a moment to realize that God may answer your prayers, but not in the way that you want them. But it was peaceful because we got to say goodbye to him. We have not found our dog. And, you know, that is haunting. And that is a point of extreme grief. And, you know, you think, well, why couldn't I have him back? But I have my children. And the Friday before, our fire was on a Tuesday. The Friday before, my childhood friend was burying her son, and I went to the funeral, and I held her as she just moaned and cried and begged God for anything to have her son back. Anything. Give anything back. And as I stood there, you know, with the house burning down, that's all I could think is, I would give all of this up to have them. And God has given me that. You know, they were unharmed. Nothing had happened to them. So amazing gifts. Journey as, you know, a church family here has totally come to our aid with, you know, furniture, with clothing, with donations. So I thank all of you for that. And I thank, you know, Derek and Deli again for their decision. And of course, you guys for raising such an amazing son, thank you, because Journey has changed lives. Journey has changed the direction of, you know, my life and my children's life. So thank you for all that you have given.
All right. Thanks, Heidi. And did you say you found the purse? I didn't catch that. Okay, all right. Found the purse. Yeah, I was there when her husband found it. He was pretty excited, so, because he knew he wasn't ever going to get any peace until he found that purse. Oh, man. I do want to invite Ron Leidick up, and Ron is one of those churches. He represents Plainfield Christian Church. And it's a church, I think it's like 175 years old, amazing congregation down in Plainfield, Indiana, where I'm from. And they came alongside us, particularly in the early years, were very generous financially, prayed with for us, and also sent several mission teams. Just one that stood out to me was Tim Gephardt, their missions minister, came up. And this building is made of panels, and the panels showed up on, I think, 10 or 11 semis full of panels. And we thought they would like come in sections, you know, as in like, well, this is this section of the building and that. No, they were just packed on those trucks. And so it was like a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle dumped out on the ground all over this 9 acres. And it was a church, it was a team from Plainfield Church that kind of organized that for us and got them where they needed to be. It was pretty amazing. But very generous congregation, and they were a definite, had a great hand in getting us going. And so we just have those churches that sewed into us. We just wanted to invite them up and say thank you. And so Ron's a longtime member of their mission team. And so he's just going to greet us from Plainfield Christian Church and pray for us, I believe.
Wow. What a beautiful place to worship. But also what makes it a beautiful place is each one of you. Because God loves each one of you, and he wants you to love him. And I can just feel God's spirit in this room. As Derek says, my name is Ron Leidick. I'm from Plainfield Christian Church in Plainfield, Indiana. It's just west of Indianapolis. And my wife, Karen, and I had the opportunity to attend the same church as Derek during his formative years. And so we've known Derek for several years and have really enjoyed knowing him and working with his family. Derek approached the Plainfield mission team about partnering with him on a church plant. And so I said, well, where are you going to plant a church? He said, well, I've been fasting and praying for several days, and I've decided that God is calling me to Fairbanks, Alaska. I said, is it very cold up there? He said, yes, but he said, those people need to hear the name of Jesus Christ. And so he said that he wanted to come up here and plant a church based on the restoration movement so that they can get to know their Lord and Savior. Well, it was a very easy decision for us to agree to this partnership. In fact, two members of our mission team were his youth sponsors. And so we knew quite a bit about him. We knew they had a deep faith. We knew he was well-grounded in Scripture because of attending the same church. And he'd also displayed leadership. He had taken a church on the south side of Indianapolis that was dying and revitalized it. And he really brought that church back. So we knew he had leadership abilities. And so the decision to partner with him was very easy. Most partners, whenever they're going to plant a church, say, well, within 5 years, we want to be self-sufficient. Well, the only problem is most of those church planters will come back in 5 years and say, well, can you do us just a little bit longer? We're not quite ready yet. And then I've even had some of them say, well, why don't you just continue supporting me forever? But Derek, when he said that he wanted our support for 5 years, and he said, at the end of that 5 years, I want you to discontinue supporting us, because if I can't get this church self-sufficient within 5 years, then I will do a bivocational job and work for nothing in order to be able to keep this church going. And he kept his promise. At the end of 5 years, he asked us to stop our support. the degree of success that we have with partners varies from one church to another. But I'm proud to say that the success here at Journey is one of our proudest moments. In other words, Journey is more successful than many of our church plants that we've ever had. As Derek mentioned, the first team that worked on this church was from our church, but you notice he did not mention I was here because Tim Kephart said that I do not know enough about construction to let me come, so he didn't invite me. I'm really impressed with the volunteers here at this church. I mean, the number of people it takes to teach the children and the youth. We saw all the youth leave a while ago, but we saw a lot of adults leave with them. And so that takes a lot of time to prepare those lessons and takes a lot of energy to teach those children. So I'm really impressed with that. Also, I was here yesterday, and many of you were here yesterday. Some of you were working on the building, and some of you were cleaning on the building, and I was one of the ones that was cleaning on the building. Now, if you see a dirty spot on your chair, just forget about what I said, that I was involved in that. So, but this is a great place to worship, and I'm sure that you're going to have many enjoyable years here. Also want to thank you, because each Mother's Day, you send Plainfield Christian Church a bouquet of flowers, and you say that we are considered your mother church along with some other churches, and it just really means a lot to the members of Plainfield Christian Church that you love us so much that you do that small deed for us. And so Plainfield Christian Church is very proud to be partners with Journey Christian Church. Let us pray. Father, we praise you for the love that you have for your church. Your church is not a building. It's the people that come here to worship here and to praise your name. And Lord, we just thank you for the people that are here today that want to come and to sing praises to you, to worship you, and to learn more about you. And so we just thank you for that. We also, Lord, pray that you will forgive us for our sins, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Even though we try to do the things that we are supposed to do, we do come up short. We do not meet your standards or your demands. So we ask you to forgive us for not being able to hold up our end of the deal. We also, Lord, want to thank you for each individual that's here today, the lives that they represent, the families they represent. And we just pray, Lord, that they will continue to worship you and to learn more about you, and that they will continue to be servants for you, that they will continue to ask people to church. They'll go to their friends, to their neighbors, to their family, to their business associates, to their classmates, and invite them to church. Because the way that people will be won to Christ is by an invitation from someone that's already there. So we pray, Lord, that they will continue to invite people. We pray for their continued growth, their spiritual growth, that they will get to know you better and to know more about the love of Jesus Christ. And as these people come to our church, we just pray, Lord, that they will learn about the plan of salvation, that they will learn that Jesus Christ died on their cross for their sins so that they can have eternal life. And so as a result of that, they will know the joys and the peace of knowing where they're going to spend eternity. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And one quick thing I want to just explain about Journey is that we're a church planting church. I mean, we support lots of missions that, you know, kind of viewed as traditional missions. Matter of fact, when you think about building, the very first building that Journey ever built was for a mission called REAP. And we built, I believe it's their education building. I think we sent them about $5,000. That was our kind of our first, you know, like the first $5,000 that came in for the building fund, because we wanted to give to the kingdom first before we did our something for ourselves and our base, and so and build our own home. So that's just something you might want to be aware of. But we're also a church planting church. So if you could put the chart above me, and I just want you to understand this, because we tie this a congregation to a church planting organization called the CEA that's based out of Seattle. And basically the way this works, what this allows us to do is to, in a sense, pay it forward for the kingdom of God. And what I love about this, one of my goals is that we are a significant partner in planting a new church every 5 years. And we're actually ahead of that schedule. If you look at the chart, you know, Journey's at the top. And then you look over to the left, that's D1, that's Daughter Church 1. That's in Meridian, Idaho. D2 is kind of in the middle there, and that's a church, it's Corvallis Church in Corvallis, Oregon, which at the time we, the stats we had, that was the least church county in the United States. So we put 50,000 in Daughter 1, 50,000 in Daughter 2. Daughter 3 is yellow and hard to see, but that's in Seattle. And those of you that know much about Seattle, Seattle's only about 3% Christian. One Christian leader, one kind of famously said, there are more dogs in Seattle than Christians. And so we just finished our $60,000 commitment to that church, and so we're going to be on daughter number 4, which is we're hoping to be in Anchorage if we can find the right planter. So that'll be daughter number 4. But we're 12 years old, so we're ahead of schedule as far as church planting. And then on top of this, we support, fully fund a church planter in Nepal, that nation, and also in the nation of India, along with some other things that we do, like Pioneer Bible Translators, which is helping a kind of nomadic group in Russia get the Bible in their heart language for the very first time, and along with things like the rescue mission and all that. So I just want you to be aware of that, because that is unique. And we really are a church that wants to be about the kingdom. And I think it was last Easter I added up what I thought the attendance was of our daughter churches. And our daughter churches together had more than we had at our Easter. And so I just that warmed my heart, because what that means is that investment is paying off and changed lives, and that the impact that you see at Journey is not just the changed lives here, but it just keeps going outward and outward. It's kind of like when there's a smooth pond and you drop a stone in it and you just see the ripples of influence moving outward. And that's what we're about. So I want to have George Johnson step up. He's from the CEA. He's the executive director, and he was my coach in the early days, and I always listened, didn't I, George? Always did what you said. And George is a great guy. When we got our truck, the truck that was kind of my nemesis for the first few years, I think it was about $40,000 of equipment in that truck initially. And I think we had $30,000, and George personally used his credit card to get that last $10,000 and help us to have what we needed to get going. And I think we paid him off in about 5 or 6 months. At least that's when I remember the harassing calls ending. So I think... No, I'm just messing with him. But he's been a true friend and help and a coach, and glad to see him as a partner. And he, you know, tithing to the CEA is how we're able to be a church planting church. Now, I hope to see us raise up people that will go plant churches organically, you know, from our body. But it's mainly been a prayer commitment and a financial commitment. So I want to give George just a moment to share a little with you.
Well, it's really a joy for me and my wife, Dottie, who's here with me this week, to be here in the new building with you and to celebrate this. This is a tremendous milestone. You realize, those of you sitting here, how many of you are here this morning who also worshiped with Journey at the Regal Cinema at some time? All right. Now, you realize that there's a story you're going to have to tell as years go on, because folks that come after you, they'll have no idea what it was like to set up church in a movie theater and to take an offering and popcorn buckets and all of those things that you did there. But what a great place to be. Certainly thanks to God. I think a lot of thanks goes to Dave Goff as well. There are things that Dave knows about this building. I'm sure he wishes that he didn't. But he knows them, and he sees to those details. I've watched that at work, and just a lot of skilled people, and also many, many volunteers who've been a part of this. Certainly, the Christian Evangelistic Association has had an investment in terms of the spiritual investment here since Derek and Deli first moved back to Fairbanks, and we've been pleased about that. There have been a lot of things that we've been involved in over the years and been glad for that. Things like, as Derek mentioned, the truck and the equipment package that we assembled in Seattle and shipped up here. We had a few things to learn about Alaska. The young guys I had putting that package together, they got that Frito-Lay truck all fitted out, and then I said, well, good, how are you going to get it there? They said, no problem, we got it worked out. We're going to ship it to Juneau, and then we'll just drive it to Fairbanks. They soon learned that wasn't going to happen. So we've been involved in a lot of things. We've learned a lot along the ways, but it's just been great to see, even including the chairs that you're sitting in. Those came from a purchase from a church in Seattle, and I gave them the great report that they have a second life here and are being well used, and just a lot of things we've been pleased to have a part in. Much more important than the building, much more important than this milestone for you are the things that Derek has put here by picture on the wall of the legacy and the heritage you have, not just here in Fairbanks, but literally reaching across the Northwest and throughout the world now in, I think if I counted them, Derek, 5 other church plants that that Journey is connected with. So just God's blessing on you for that. Keep it up. It's great work. We hope that you won't quit. Derek mentioned through our partnership together between the Christian Evangelistic Association and Journey, in addition to helping you get started here, there are 3 other projects, one of them in the Boise, Idaho area, one of them in Corvallis, Oregon, then another recently in Seattle. The next one we're especially excited about, have had a long vision anticipated from day one when Derek and Deli came, that we would have the opportunity to plant future churches right here in Alaska. And so the next project that we're partnering with you for will be in Anchorage, and we're looking forward to that. I would encourage you to be praying for us. As you might guess, and you may be grateful for this. There's only one Derek Dickinson in the world. So I, you know, depending on how you feel, if that's a good thing or not. But we need to find someone else who's like Derek and Deli Dickinson who are willing also to come to Anchorage. And it's my personal conviction probably that couple is already here in Alaska and God's been preparing them. So pray with us for that. Ron, I'm going to send you back with the challenge to go back to Plainfield and let them know on a good report that you have a daughter congregation here in Alaska, and now that you've been challenged to go back and say, what about grandchildren, Ron? Because together we'd like to partner with Journey and help you plant your daughter church, which for Plainfield, Ron, would be a granddaughter church. We already had that conversation with the church in Markle, Derek and I did, by phone this week, and they are quite excited about that prospect, and the Christian Evangelistic Association is as well. So there are great things that have happened here. There are great things here this morning that are happening, but let me tell you this, we're in the early chapters of the book. God has a lot more to write, and he's all about doing that. Let me close just with these few words written by the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. I think they're appropriate. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. God bless. Thank you. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.